Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. My name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Summit Church. Hopefully, you're checking us out for the very first time. I'm hearing more and more people who are trying us online and then actually showing up in person, and we love it. And if you're one of our regular online attenders, we love having you here as well. Thank you for being faithful. I'm excited because we're closing up what I think has been a really important message series, talking about the importance of our words. And this is certainly not the first time I've visited this topic, and it won't be the last, because they are super, super powerful. If you did not get to watch last week's message, can I really encourage you to go back? There was an important announcement I made about just something that Lisa and I are doing over the next couple months that you need to be aware of. And if you didn't see that, you need to see it in context. So go back and watch that, would you? And then buckle in. We're going to get right to it this morning. So I'm safe in assuming that you've heard the expression before: give a man a fish, feed him for a day; teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. So the reason that saying actually is so well known, and you recognize it, and you've heard it said multiple times, I'm guessing, is because it's true. It's applicable. It's one of those things that actually is correct. It's something we say to somebody to remind them of the value of just giving somebody something, helps them temporarily, but teaching them how to get that thing on their own helps them for a lifetime. So that it's a true statement, but I'll be honest with you, it's not 100% true, and here's what I mean. It's actually not that hard, not that easy, I should say, to teach someone how to fish. It's hard fishing. I've been fishing my whole life, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not super successful, and even the most successful people can go for long stretches without being successful. Let me give you a biblical example. Jesus, the day he called Peter to become one of his followers, Peter was a professional fisherman. And Jesus met him on the shoreline, and Peter was pulling in his nets and being discouraged, and after an entire day of not getting any fish, was packing it in and just quitting for the day. So even professionals have a hard time actually doing it. So here's what we know to be true: where you fish and what bait you use are essential in making you successful at fishing. Because you have to be where the fish are. You can spend all day in a lake, and if you are in the part of the lake where there are no fish, you're not going to catch anything. And if you happen to be where the fish are, but you're not luring them with bait that they want, guess what? They are not going to get on that line. You're not going to catch them with your whatever you have in there. You have to make sure you have the right bait. Be in the right place and bait them with the right thing. So here's the spiritual application of that. If you want to grow in God's highest and best, the same principle holds true. Where you are, where you're fishing for God's highest and best, and the bait you use to get it, what you use to lure God's highest and best to you in your marriage, in your parenting, in your financial life, in your plans and your purposes, in your thought life, in your emotional baseline, your emotional health, in your spiritual maturity, I would want to teach you the same things. It's better to teach us. It's better for God's word to teach us where to go and what to use to attract God's highest and best than it is for us to just have that handed to us. So we have to fish for life, because that's what we want. Listen, the Bible says this clearly. You and I have the ability to attract life or attract death using our words. Let me say that again. The Bible says, not me, not some motivational speaker, not Oprah. The Bible says you and I speak life or death into our world, the world around us, our children, our spouse, our work life, our emotional life. We have the ability to attract one or the other of those things. And so where we go and where we cast that bait and what we use to attract those things is absolutely essential. So that's going to be the foundation of what we talk about. And I just have 2 points today to talk about. Okay, so grab your notes, open up your app if you don't already have it open. If I'm going to catch the life I want, catch God's highest and best, if I'm going to catch life, I need to use my words to, number one, start cursing the things that don't grow God's best in my life. Start cursing the things that don't grow God's best in my life. And you may think I'm talking about cussing. I'm not. I'm talking about cursing, two different things. So let me talk real quick about, I brought some show and tell items with me this morning. So these guys right here, I brought these from home actually, because I do eat these guys. I actually enjoy them quite a bit. And depending on the mood I'm in, I'll eat the ones with sea salt. I'll eat the ones with zesty ranch. These are really good. And then they've got these fire hot ones that I think maybe only Sam's or Costco sells, and they're in the really big bag, and those are really, really good. This company that makes them actually got sued for false advertising. And here's what the plaintiff said in the lawsuit. They said that it's deceptive to call these garden veggie straws, when in reality, they're potato straws, and they have a negligible amount of vegetables, dried powdered vegetable byproduct sprinkled into them. And so it's deceptive to call them garden veggies, especially because they show tomatoes and kale leaves, and there's a, that's about it. And they kind of hide the potato in back. You might even think it's a squash or something else. The point they're trying to make is that when you go to these and you think you're eating veggie straws, you're actually eating essentially sticks of potatoes with veggie powder in it. I don't think they were successful in that lawsuit because the judge said, well, I think they're letting people know they're not actually veggie straws. Now, here's something you may not have known. In 2016, I believe, Naked was sued in, it was actually PepsiCo, as in Pepsi Corporation, who bottles and makes this, was sued for the same reason, deceptive practices, implying to people that they're getting something that's really healthy. They're getting all these green vegetables. They're getting all these really healthy nutrients and vitamins and all kinds of different stuff. For instance, the pomegranate blueberry juice that advertised no sugar added. It gives you the impression that it's just natural and there's no additional sugars and things like that. It's kind of true, except for the fact that that particular bottle of juice has 50% more sugar than a can of Pepsi does. Or the fact that the kale blazer, which actually looks a lot like this, is made to appear as if it's got these deep kale leaves and these really rich vegetables and all kinds of nutrients in it. It lets people believe that they're getting something healthy and that they're finding a healthy alternative to all these sugary drinks, when in reality, listen, it's entirely made up of orange juice and apple juice. And we actually know that fruit juices are sometimes, most of the time, contain more sugar and are just as unhealthy for us as a can of soda is. And they were actually successful in that lawsuit. Pepsi agreed to change the labels. They didn't agree to change anything in the bottles or change the way they did things. They just said, well, we'll advertise it slightly differently. And here's the point of those lawsuits. When somebody goes to something and they have an expectation that they're going to get fed and they're going to find growth and they're going to find health in it, and they actually find the exact opposite, they're going to respond with anger and resentment and even a lawsuit. And I happen to agree with them. Here's why. It's about time that you and I start calling out and cursing the things that we have gone to for health, but have repeatedly shown they don't bring us health. Calling out the things that should be feeding our marriages, our emotional health, our spiritual health, our emotional maturity, our spiritual maturity, our friendships, our relationships, all the things that we value, all the things that we are, begin to curse the things that produce nothing in our lives, but actually just fill us up with empty calories. And that's the problem. You and I have turned to so many things in the past and expected those and wanted those things to feed our health. And instead, they just contribute to the sort of gluttony and the fattening and the laziness of why we don't flourish and prosper in those areas. Jesus surprised his own disciples with this hangry moment. You know what being hangry is, right? It's where you're so hungry that you're angry and you just start getting really cranky. I've had those moments in my life before. Let me read this passage to you. It's going to appear on your screen, Matthew 21, 18 through 22. Early the next morning, Jesus was going back to the city and he was very hungry. I love that line because it just shows us how really human what Jesus was, as well as being God. He was hungry. And here's what happened. Jesus saw a fig tree beside the road and he went, the fig's a fruit, by the way. He saw a fig tree beside the road and went to get a fig from it. But there were no figs on the tree. There were only leaves. So let me pause right there. The tree should have at this point, being fully bloomed and fully in season, already had fruit on it. It should have been bearing fruit. But there was no figs on the tree. There were only leaves. So Jesus spoke to the tree. The disciples heard him say this, "You will never produce fruit again." And the tree immediately dried up and died. That must have been a very cool and unsettling moment. They, the disciples, ask, "How did the fig tree dry up and die so quickly?" And Jesus answered, "The truth is, if you have faith and no doubts, you will be able to do the same as I did to this tree. And you will be able to do more." And then listen, this sounds familiar, right? "You will be able to say to this mountain, 'Go, mountain, fall into the sea.' And if you have faith, it will happen. If you believe, you will get anything you ask for in prayer." So here's what happens. We love to go to the second part of that passage. We love the part about we say to the mountain, "Mountain, move from here to there and it'll do it. And if we believe, we'll get anything," because we love the idea that we get to say things that will produce prosperity and health and richness in our lives. We like to be able to say, "I'm going to get that car. I'm going to get that job. I'm going to get that promotion. I'm going to get that, if you're not married, I'm going to get that fiance and we're going to get married and I'm going to get this." And we love to be able to say that. Jesus actually wasn't even talking about getting something. He was talking about cursing things that were standing in the way of you getting what God had already promised and created you for. He said, "Listen, this tree was supposed to be producing fruit." Jesus was illustrating something very important, that things that should produce fruit but don't produce fruit are only deceptive and stand in the way of us getting filled, right? Because the Bible says that when we speak, we plant seeds and we will eat of that which we have said. Our bellies will be full with it. I'm going to actually get to that passage in just a little bit. But Jesus said, that which is there to produce fruit and doesn't produce fruit stands in the way of you getting full. And when he referred to the mountain, he said, if that mountain is standing in the way of your health and you following the path that God put in front of you, you need to curse those things and get those things out of your life. Let me say that again. Learn to curse the things that are keeping you from getting filled up with God's highest and God's best for every area of your life. Number two is this. If I'm going to catch life, I need to use my words to start, number two, casting the bait that lures God's best towards me. Now I'm going to read Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. I just referenced it a second ago. And you've heard this a passage throughout the series. I started the series with it and I want to end the series with it because this is the entire foundation of what we've been talking about over the last 5 weeks. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21 says this, "Because of what they say, a person can fill their stomach." So what we say is what we eat. What their words produce can satisfy them. Your tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love to talk will eat the fruit of their words. I love this passage because it explains and outlines the power and authority of which God has given us in creating us to have creative authority in our words. Let me say it again. You will live off of, the benefits or the consequences. You will take into your own life the benefits or the consequences of what you speak into your life. And again, this doesn't, listen, you can welcome life or you can reject life. You can welcome death or you can reject death based on how you speak life or death into your life. And when I'm talking about life or death, I don't necessarily, as a matter of fact, most of the time I'm not referring to the literal sense of the word. I mean it in the most holistic way. Death being decay and decline and sickness and failure in areas of your life where God meant for there to be life. Let me give you an example. Did Adam and Eve die the moment that they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God warned them, do not eat of this tree. If you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will surely die. And they ate it. Satan questioned that very thing. He said, you're going to die from this? So you can imagine the relief in Adam and Eve's minds when they took the bite of that fruit and did not die. But the reality is it wasn't literal death in that moment. It wasn't instantaneous death in that moment. It was that their relationship with each other began to decay. Immediately, they began to blame each other. Their marriage began to fail in that moment. Their marriage began to decay in that moment. One blamed the other and the other blamed the other back. Their relationship with God began to decay. They once walked with God in the cool of the day, side by side, and then now they found themselves hiding. They had sewn fig leaves together to cover themselves, and they hid behind a bush, hiding from God. You see, that's what sin does to us, as we hide from God, and death begins to decay the health of our relationship with God. The purpose and plan that God had created them for began to decay. Do you know that Adam and Eve, humankind, was meant to live forever? They were meant to spend their lives in paradise, not working, no pain associated with childbirth. Ladies, are you listening? No pain associated with childbirth. Men, work would not be hard or difficult. It would always be a joy, and they ruined that. So when I talk about death, I talk about things as they're supposed to be being decayed to where they become something that they're not supposed to be. And of course, literal death. They were meant to live forever, but we know that they're not alive anymore, and they eventually died, and they were never meant to. With every word we speak, we stand at that tree and we choose whether or not to eat of the fruit or not eat of the fruit. Here's what I mean. We choose God's way or choose our way. We were always meant to live life, and I mean life with a capital L, God's highest and best life. We were always meant to be in a state of paradise and health and growth. Our marriages were always meant to be perfect. Our lives were always meant to be perfect. Our plans in God were always meant to be eternal and perfect. We were meant for something different than this. And so every time we speak a word, we take into ourselves a seed. And then every time we speak a word, we plant that seed. I'm going to show you something. I brought with me one of my fishing rods and reels. And this isn't very expensive. It's kind of a nice one. And it's nicer than the fisherman. It's better equipment than I deserve. If I'm going to catch anything, it'll be because I probably have good equipment and not because I'm that great of a fisherman, because I'm really not. And it's got a spinner on it. And these are used to simulate and imitate a particular kind of bait that would exist in nature. And then it's got some silver on this other side, so it reflects light and it catches the fish's eye, and they're supposed to be attracted to that, and they're supposed to bite into that, and I'm supposed to catch them and bring them into the boat. And it doesn't always go like that. And so I have a tackle box, and it's got a bunch of different lures in it. Got a bunch of different bait in it. And sometimes people use live bait, they use crickets, they use live worms, they use all kinds of things. Sometimes people use sardines. I've seen people use pieces of bologna. People will use whatever it takes to get a fish onto that hook. So listen, the bait we use to attract God's promises, God's favor, God's blessing, God's highest or best, we either attract that Or we end up luring that fruitless fig tree. We end up luring something like this that promises health and promises is a better alternative, and it looks good, and it says it's veggies and garden grown, and it sounds great, and we want something like this. We want to drink this. I read reviews of this, and I saw a guy, this was back in 2016, and I saw a guy say, I'm going to make it part of my daily health routine. That guy's probably 450 pounds by now if he actually made this part of his health routine, because it is no good for you. We're either attracting truly God's highest and best, his health for us, or we're attracting the thing that looks like it would be healthy, but it actually isn't. So I want to emphasize this point again. Your words within themselves have no power whatsoever, but by the divine principle of how God created us, He attaches authority to our words. And so because God has attached authority to our words, it produces life or it produces death. Look at this familiar passage in Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38 says this, "For if you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, and running over, whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be used to measure what is given back to you." I want you to hear this. Every word you speak, every time you say something, it's going to come back to you, not only in full measure, but multiplied. You're going to have to make more room for that. Whatever you give out is going to come back to you. And you go, well, wait a second. Wasn't that talking about like offerings and tithing? It actually wasn't. We use that as teaching a biblical principle on whatever you put out is going to come back to you. So that's 100% a divine principle that applies to giving, tithing, all of that. In context, in the passage, it's actually Jesus referring to speaking words of judgment over somebody. And he said this, whatever you say is going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you in overflowing measure. You're going to have to pack it down. You're going to have to shake it in there, and it's going to overflow. So whatever generosity or stinginess you give, if you're stingy with your grace and you're generous with your judgment, just know that stingy grace is going to come back to you. It's going to be depleted, anemic grace. And generous judgment and criticism and condemnation are going to come back to you where you can't even contain it. Jesus laid out this eternal divine principle of whatever we say out loud to someone and about someone is going to come back to us in multiplied measure. Man, that is either super encouraging or it's super scary. Listen to the way Paul continues to teach that principle to the church in Ephesus, and out of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4:29, he says this, "Don't let even one rotten word seep out of your mouths. Instead, offer only fresh words that build others up when they need it most." Have you ever known someone who doesn't need encouragement? Have you ever known someone who doesn't need affirmation? Have you ever known someone that doesn't need grace or kindness, mercy, forgiveness? Have you ever known someone that doesn't want something positive said to them? We are all so starved of affirmation that we always need someone speaking that into our lives. Then it says this, offer only fresh words that'll build others up when they need it most. That way your good words, not your good works, your good words will communicate grace. That is such a wonderful biblical concept, grace to those who hear them. Can you imagine if you fill your mouth, your words, your talk, your conversations with grace, mercy, encouragement, kindness, empathy, compassion, if you are speaking those things, you are throwing lines, fishing lines out. You are putting a line into the water to catch and bring back into you those things multiplied over and over, and you will eat of that which you have lured to you, that which you have caught on your line, that which you have brought back into the boat. That should excite you into changing the way you talk. So I want to spread this out for you. When you are talking about your boss or even to your boss, is what you're saying multiplying grace and respect and cooperation and honor, or is it multiplying insubordination and rebellion and disrespect back to you? And you don't even have employees, maybe. So you go, what do I care? I don't have anybody working for me. Your kids, your spouse, those who you care about, friendships, because it will manifest and multiply in every one of those areas. So how you talk about your boss and how you talk to your boss, does it multiply the things that you want to see happen? How about your spouse? Let's talk about your spouse for a moment. The way you talk about your spouse to your best friend, to the person you confide in. Or maybe how about in behind closed doors when no one else is watching or listening that you think, and how you talk to your spouse. Does that multiply grace and empathy and honor and kindness and respect and forgiveness, compassion, understanding? Or does it multiply anger and resentment, right? And rage and bitterness and disrespect and hurt and mistrust? Here's the simple truth. Whatever you have filled your tackle box with, that is what you are speaking out. That is what you're using to attract things into your life. And if you determine in your life that you refuse to cast out into that water, to cast out into life, to cast into your marriage, to cast into your workplace, to cast into your mental life, to cast into your politics, you refuse to speak the kind of things that will multiply empty, meaningless calories in your life. They make you feel good in the moment, because I'm going to tell you this, I love these guys for a snack. They only have 130 calories in a bag. That's pretty darn good. Can I tell you this, though? Those are completely empty, meaningless calories. Because I can eat something completely different. I can have a huge plate of vegetables and even some fruits in there for about 130 calories and get a lot more out of it. So are you speaking in your politics and your emotional health and everything? Are you speaking things that just get you feeling good for the moment and that satisfy you in the moment, or actually produce health in your life? Because your words are setting you up to take back into your emotional stomach, your physical stomach, your marital stomach, your spiritual stomach, your parental stomach, your social stomach, your everything. You are eating of your words. And so my encouragement is this: be really, really careful, really, really intentional, really, really aggressive about making sure that you've got the right lure on the line. And then be incredibly aggressive at cursing the things, at eliminating the things from your life that produce nothing at all. And you already know what they are, don't you? You already know that when you go and you rage about this thing and you talk about this thing and it produces nothing. Over the year and the 18 months of the pandemic so far, as you've kind of raged out loud, has it produced anything good in your life? Makes you feel good in the moment, doesn't it? About the political landscape, as you vented and you got on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and you said what you wanted to say, did it really produce anything healthy in your life? You already know the answer is no. When you vented about your spouse, did it make your marriage healthier? When you vented to your spouse, did it make your marriage healthier? You get my point, right? God has given us a divine formula for how to bring health, growth, strength, and life into every area we care about. We have the power of life and death through what we say. Can I pray for you and over you and speak some words of life into you and your family? Father, I'm so grateful for this authority and power, but I know that I have abused it, misused it, underused it, neglected it. God, I've let, just like in real life, I let that tackle box sit in my garage. I let these fishing rods hang from my garage ceiling and do nothing with them. It's easier sometimes to just swing by the store and take what was fished for me. But God, it's time we all begin to learn the authority and the power that we have in our words to create life where maybe there's decay, to create hope where there's hopelessness, to create joy where there's been sadness and hurt, to create health where there's been sickness and anemia, God, in our marriage, in our finances, in our emotional health. Man, we are a people who are emotionally and mentally drained after a year of just circumstantial abuse. And God, it's time to restore life back to those areas, and you give us the power and authority to do it on our own. We just need to begin to put that bait out there and lure those things into our life by the authority given to us, by the way you created us and what you've called us to. You've said that we need to speak life so that we can receive life, that you will multiply back to us whatever we sow. And so, God, we want to begin to sow health, life, growth, empathy, grace, forgiveness, mercy, kindness, empathy, compassion, all the good things, Lord, that your word encourages us to do as followers of Christ. We sow that into our world, everyone around us, deserving or undeserving. You said that when we judge, we're going to multiply judgment back to us. And so, God, we want to be people of grace. And we thank you for enabling us and empowering us to do that and equipping us to. Our tackle boxes are already full. We just need to begin to use them. And we need to begin to curse the trees that produce nothing in our life so that they won't be in our path anymore. In Jesus' name, we claim all of this, thanking you in advance for it. Amen. God bless you guys.